And I know everybody's looking at their watch. Short sermon. All right, here we go. Take your Bible, open to 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And I want to just start by, as you're turning, asking you a question, really based on what Brother Wes has challenged us in. What is the most important role of a parent? Somebody might say, well, I mean, we've got to make sure they're clothed and they're fed and they've got a good education. And all those things are very important, you know, that we make sure there's a roof over their head. We make sure they're in the right schools, make sure hopefully maybe they'll go to college or they learn a trade or they can get a job, they can take care of themselves. And all those things are important things. But what is the most important role of the parent? And the answer is this: spiritual leadership. That's by far eclipses everything else you can hand down to your children is a legacy of faithfulness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? All right. And so that's what God's called us to do. That's what Brother West has challenged us in. And I want us to take just a few minutes this morning and look at a guy who did a lot of things well, but didn't do the most important thing well, and the tragedy that that brought. Now, his name was Eli, and Eli was a high priest at Shiloh during the time where Shiloh was the high point, the focal point of worship in Israel. The tabernacle was in Shiloh. The Ark of the Covenant was in Shiloh. It was a place that all the offerings were brought and worship was had. Now, he was also, you might remember, the high priest who prayed for Hannah, and that Hannah devoted or gave to the service of the Lord under this particular high priest, Samuel. And so he was a very important man, and he did a lot of things right. But the most important thing he did wrong, he did not lead his own children well. And this particular text speaks to me greatly because I've got a lot of important roles to play in terms of leading the church well. But far more important than that is to lead my own children well. And if I get those upside down, then you suffer and we all suffer. And so let's look at what verse 12 says about Samuel, or about Eli's children. Two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and it said of them, it says now, hey, verse 12 of chapter 2, 1 Samuel, now the sons of Eli were worthless men. Now that's what you want to say about the pastor's kids, right? They are worthless, all right? But that's what God says. They were worthless men. Why? They did not know the Lord. Now, what they were doing was bad. In fact, they didn't know the Lord. They didn't fear God. They didn't reverence the Lord. Caused their actions to be very ungodly. And so they served as priests under the high priest. And what would happen in that day is that people would bring their sacrifices to the priest. And with the meat of the sacrifice, they were to be offered to the Lord by boiling them. It would boil all the fat up as a fragrant offering of the Lord. Let me ask you something. When you have meat, where's all the flavor at? It's in the fat. That's why we like it so much, right? And so what they would do, they knew that too, all right? And God knew that. And so God got the best. Just like as we give tithes and offerings, God gets the first. So God got the best. And the way God took care of the priests at that time was after that offering had been given and the meat, the fat of the meat had been boiled up, had been burned up, and then offered up as a fragrant offering up to the Lord, then the priest would be able to take a big fork, and that's what they would do. They would stick it in the pot, and whatever they pulled out in terms of meat, they could have that to eat. That's one of the ways that God cared for them and fed the priest. Now, Hophni and Phinehas started looking at this and said, I think I want it before the fat is burnt up. Now, obviously, that's a bad deal, because that fat is an offering to whom? To God. And so that's exactly what they did. They started taking this offering before it had been offered to the Lord. Look at verse 15 and 16. It describes what's happening. It says, moreover, before the fat was burned, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who was sacrificing, give meat for the priest to roast, for he will not accept boiled meat from you, only raw. In other words, I want it before you offer it to God. You give it to me first. And if the man said to him, let them burn up the fat first, then take as much as you want. In other words, he knew the law. He knew what God wanted. He's like, no, priest, let me give this to God. Then take what you want. Then he would say, no, you must give it to me now. And if not, I will take it by force. That's what the priest would say. You give it to me raw before you give it to God. If not, I'm going to take it. What's he doing? He's stealing from God. He's stealing from God. He's putting himself really in the place of God. God, you don't get the worship. I want the best, not you. I'm taking it all. And that's not all they were doing. They were also sleeping with women that were around the temple. That was something that the Canaanites did. And that was, you know, for the Canaanites, they said that was all well and good, but not for the followers of Yahweh. Okay? Not for God's people. That's not acceptable. And so here's the Lord's perspective on their life in verse 17. Look at verse 17. Thus, the sin of the young men was very great in the sight of the Lord, for the men treated the offering of the Lord with contempt. With contempt. So in other words, what Eli had on his hands were rebellious children. Now I want to remind you that at this point in their life, it wasn't as if they're not like their kids. He's not got 2 8-year-olds that are, you know, fighting over the toy. These are grown men. And so what we know something about Eli's life and in the way the Lord ultimately judges him, that he had not done his most important role, and that was to raise his children to fear the Lord, to love the Lord, to reverence the Lord, to live lives that bring glory to God. And I think I just want to press in on that point right now for just a couple more minutes, that what are we to do if we have rebellious children that want to go their own way? By the way, if you have children, you will have rebellious children. They were born sinners. You know why? Because their parents were born sinners. They got it right from you. So listen, if you're going to give them your sin, then also give them your faith. If you're going to hand down a legacy of sinfulness just because it was handed to you from Adam, you can't do anything of that. You have an obligation to lead them in righteousness to Jesus Christ. All right? We must take accountability for our children's rebellions before their rebellion becomes a lifestyle. Before it begins to direct their lives, we are to direct their lives in a Christ-like way. You know, I've seen so many parents just don't want to be parents, you know, once their children become rebellious to some degree, and they rebel, and it's like, well, I'm not, you know, I don't know what to do. What do I do? You parent them. You must be responsible for your children. I mean, you think about it. Do our children decide what's best for them, or do we decide what's best for them? We do. If our children get up one day and decide, I'm not really feeling school today, Dad. I'm not feeling this. Not my job. I'm gonna stay home, play some video games. You know, call some girls, call some guys, whatever. I'm just not, or even if they're younger, you know, I'm not. What? We go, really? I've been there. Okay, go ahead. No! He's like, get up! What's wrong with you? You know better than this. This is not the way we raised you. You're going to school. Why? Because a parent is responsible for the child's education. All right? Now, if your kid gets up and says, I don't want to brush my teeth this morning. I don't want to brush them at night. I'm not going to care. I'm going to go all week without brushing your teeth. No, you're not. I'm not taking a bath. Yes, you are. Why? Because a parent is responsible for the child's hygiene and health, right? Right? It's why parents make their kids eat their broccoli. We are not supposed to use the word, I was taught, don't use the word hate in church. I really despise broccoli. Not a fan. But I had to eat it or sit at the chair for hours. How many of you sat at a chair for hours looking at a plate? How many of you ended up eating cold broccoli when you could have eaten hot broccoli like 2 hours before? Right? Why do parents do that? Because parents are responsible for the nutrition of the child. Yet those same parents will get up on Sunday morning and their child go, "Oh, I don't want to go to church." And you're like, "Well, you really need to make that decision on your own." What's wrong with you? That's not their decision. You are responsible for the spiritual health of your child. You are. Now, Miss Beverly back there, if Brother West is called, we have a the staff here, we have a responsibility with that. All right? But you know who God's going to hold first responsible? You. Parents. That is exactly right. We have that responsibility to teach them a lifestyle of faithfulness before a lifestyle of sinfulness takes hold. Now, I get it. Sometimes you do the best you can with a child, and an adult child goes his own way. And I'll be the first to say, you're not responsible for the bad decisions of your adult children if you took every opportunity to lead them rightly when they were younger. Okay? So we have that responsibility. This is getting longer at the moment, I know. Let me throw this in here. Sometimes we get up in the morning, our children say, "I don't want to go to church." And we go, "Yeah, I don't either. Let's just stay home." How can you expect your children to be responsible if they don't have responsible parents? Well, this got a lot harder than I intended. My apologies, Wes. But let's get back to Eli here. Now, what we find in Eli's life is that if parents don't hold children accountable, then God holds parents accountable. Look at verse 29. A man of God approached Eli, and through this man, God asked Eli a question. He says, "Why then do you scorn my sacrifices and my offerings that I commanded? And honor your sons," watch this, "and honor your sons above me by fattening yourselves on the choicest parts of every offering of my people." Now, look, why are you allowing them to do this? You, in doing so, watch this. He says, "You are honoring your children more than you are honoring me." Let me put that in South Alabama talk. You're worshiping your kids, not God. That is a chronic sin in South Alabama. That is a chronic sin in South Mississippi, where I'm from. That is a chronic sin in this day and age. We make children paramount instead of God paramount. And I'll tell you something. If we make God paramount in our lives, our children will come out a whole lot better. Okay? And so that is our role. And that's one of the, in the discussion with Wes as we were talking, that's one of the things that resonated with us. I was like, yes, that is exactly right. Now, why don't we do that? I got a bunch of stuff in here, some thoughts on that. Quite frankly, why don't we raise our children better when they start rebelling? We're lazy, that's why, and we don't want to fight with our kids. How many of you just said, "Let's just don't make it a fight"? I get that. There's times that happens in my... It was kind of what Eli did too, because then, you know what Eli was supposed to do with his children according to the law? He was supposed to take them to the city gates, the city court there, and have the leaders stone them to death. Now, granted, remember, these are not 8-year-olds. These are grown men that are openly rebelling against the Almighty. All right. Now, thankfully, God does not call us to kill our rebellious children, right? And amen for that. Right? However, there's times that we want to. I didn't want that to be on record. All right. But we can't do that. All right, that is not godly. That is not what God wants. It's not, okay, so, but we don't want to fight. We don't want to do the hard things of parenting. And can I tell you, look, when we parent, sometimes we have to do things we don't want to do. I don't want to spank my children. I do because I love them, okay? There are times I don't want to fight with them, you know? We have conflict sometimes because I love them. And there are sometimes parenting is hard work. If parenting's not hard for you, you're not doing it right. All right? It's hard work. You get home, you're tired. I'm tired. You get home from work, you're tired. Your kids get home, they're tired. And then you want to, you know, then you've your meals and you've got the activities in the evenings and then you come home and you're like, oh, family worship or even pray. Just let the critters just find a bed. Just let them go, right? And though we don't leave them right. And then we want to fight, oh, don't let it be. I just don't make it a fight. Just let him do what he wants to do or she wants what she wants to do. Parenting is hard work if you're doing it right. But it comes with the power of God on us. If we do it right. And so Eli failed at that massively. And as a result, we'll close with this. 1 Samuel 2, 22 through 25 says, now Eli was very old. And he kept hearing all that his sons were doing to all Israel and how they lay with women who were serving at the entrance to the tent of meetings. And he said to them, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. Everybody's talking about how bad the pastor's kids are, right? No, my sons, it's no good report that I hear from the people of the Lord spreading abroad. If someone sins against the man, God will mediate for him. But if someone sins against the Lord, who can intercede for him? But they would not listen to the voice of their father. It was too late. He had missed his chance. He was old. You see that? He was old when he brought the issue up. Do not wait till your children are old and out of the house before you point out their sin to them. Do it when they're 2 years old and up. Teach them about sinfulness. Teach them the gospel. Teach them that we're born in sin. Teach them that their daddy and mama was sinners and they needed a great Savior. Teach them that they are sinners and they need a great Savior in Jesus Christ. And point them to Christ the rest of your life. Because it ends up by saying, again, but they would not listen to the voice of their fathers, for it was the will of God to put them to death. When I say it was too late for their dad to intercede. But it was not too late for God to. And you say, that's hard. Yeah. You want to make sure your children are walking by faith. Before a God who is loving, a God who is long-suffering, and a God who is merciful, does the merciful thing by ending their reign of rebellion. Right? It's a big job we're called to. It's a hard job. If we do it well, we're going to need the guidance of God daily and His strength moment a moment. So I'm going to close with prayer, and we're going to sing a hymn of invitation in just a moment. And if you just need help in parenting, would you just ask God for that help? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask God for help. And ask God for leadership as we face the days ahead. Because I'm telling you, parenting's not going to get easier. It's going to get harder. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, then now is the time to get off the road of rebellion and look to Christ and find salvation and holiness and a road to heaven, eternal life. Father, I'll be the first one to say we need help. I need help. And so, Father, I thank you today that we have come to worship a God that promises all the help we need. We draw out of the glorious riches that are in Christ. And Father, as we think about children's ministry this morning, we think about calling Wes as children's pastor. We want to do what your will is. I pray that the church has been able to discern that this morning. Father, I pray that you give the church what we need to help equip parents to do the hard work of ministry to their children. Father, I pray that if there's those that don't know Christ today, they would know Christ before they leave this place. As we sing to your glory. In Christ's name, amen.